All right, welcome to the Free Stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. I am Bobby Fenton, off-season edition. This is our first edition of the show with no football on the horizon. Had the Super Bowl, obviously, now almost 2 weeks ago since I've been able to talk to you. Or actually, it was 1 week ago. It just feels like it was 2 weeks ago. We've got the XFL coming up, which we're going to talk a little bit about today, not a ton. But we're in off-season mode, so of course the big questions about the quarterback situation, the draft, free agency, all these things are going to be the main focus for the next little while, and that's fine. I'm looking forward to watching a little bit of the XFL to just see what that's like, and I think I'm even going to go to a Vipers game. But we got a lot of other things to talk to, and we're also going to get into the mode, now that we're in the off-season, of branching out a little bit as far as our topics. This will always be a Bucks-focused show. That's always going to be the first order of business, or football-related, at least, if not the Bucks, because there isn't much going on with the Bucks right now. But we might talk about a few things from other sports. I'm not going to turn it into a variety show, but, you know, I've had some times where people have told me, hey, Bobby, you know, I kind of miss your old talk show, the Free Stretch on the radio. Don't be afraid to make the Free Stretch podcast more like that and talk about different things. And I've had other people tell me, this is a Bucks website and you should only be talking about the Bucks. And so I know different people like different things. But again, we're in the middle of the offseason, okay? There's nothing else going on right now with the Bucks. And if there is, of course, you know it's going to get covered. And Joe Bucks Fan is the place anywhere for stuff like that to get covered. So with all that said, this show is brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. If you go to the website, before you have to do anything else, just whip that up on your phone or on your computer, your laptop, whatever. It's BillCurryFord.com. That's C-U-R-R-I-E. BillCurryFord.com. And you'll see all the inventory. Now, know that when you're looking at that, whether it's brand new, whether it's pre-owned, whether it's used, whatever it is, you are going to get the Bill Curry Ford nationwide lifetime warranty. That means if you buy the car at Bill Curry Ford, as long as you're the owner, doesn't matter if it's just a year, 2 years, no. As long as you're the owner, engine trouble, bring it back in, you're covered. That's something that, again, you do not see other places. And even though you'll probably get the best deal of Bill Curry Ford to begin with, if you talk to Sean Sullivan, especially if you mention the Joe Bucks Fan discount, even without that, you're going to get that warranty, which is not something you see other places, and that's the thing that puts it over the top for Bill Curry Ford, and that peace of mind, more than anything else, because, you know, I just had a friend the other day have to take her car in for engine trouble, $1,500, and that's something that she didn't have coverage on because she didn't buy the car at Bill Curry Ford. So check them out, BillCurryFord.com, or go see him in person a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. Now, we've got the Bucks sitting here. I'm watching the Super Bowl last Sunday, okay? And like I told you before, I always think about every time I'm watching football, or at least the NFL, I'm thinking about those games in terms of the Bucks. I'm thinking, are the Bucks better than these teams? Are they worse than these teams? If it's a big game or a playoff game, I'm thinking, what do the Bucks have to do to be one of these teams? Could they play in one of these games? Could they play with these teams? This is the window I view all these things through. Because you see how fine the line is. Y'all watch the playoffs. Y'all saw the Titans get within a hair of the Super Bowl. Y'all saw the 49ers and the Bucks. That's a team the Bucks, honestly, gave the game to in week one earlier in the season. And you already know, if you're an NFL fan, there is not that much difference between these upper level teams, or the ones that we think of as so far ahead of everybody else, and your 7-9s, your 8-8s, or even your 9-7s and 10-6s. So watching that game last Sunday, and the difference was a few different things. I mean, I know Patrick Mahomes didn't have a great game. And then people say, oh, well, how do you know he can't be the Super Bowl MVP? I don't care about awards like that anyway, but I will say this about Patrick Mahomes. Again, that was kind of a sloppy game for KC offensively, especially in the first three quarters. We already knew they could turn it up and score quickly, and I talked about on the show last week, the one thing that in my mind was keeping me from picking San Francisco was knowing that if it got to be a 10-point lead or a 14-point lead or something like that, in San Francisco's favor, I knew Kansas City could still come back and make a game out of that. Whereas if it was the other way around, and I was thinking of this in terms of earlier in the game, not later, but if it was the other way around and San Francisco got down, I didn't love their chances because of the way they like to play and because Garoppolo is someone that Shanahan clearly, even though they were demolishing people, he clearly didn't quite, I don't want to say trust, but you could tell. I mean, you could even tell on Sunday how they couldn't just cut it loose with him. Whereas Mahomes, again, that game was not good for Kansas City through three quarters. But all you out there right now, tell me, did any of you think that game was over? Nobody did, right? Like, nobody was like, 20-10, I'm going to turn this one off. Like, no, you never thought it was over. Because you knew, even though he hadn't played well, even though it wasn't a great game for him going through early on, they had that chance, and it's exactly what happened. So, if you look at his overall numbers from the game, and obviously they improved quite a bit with the fourth quarter, but even still, if you look at the overall package, you might say, oh, he was pretty underwhelming in this Super Bowl, and I'm not sure he deserved. But you know what? Who was the one guy on that roster where when they were down in the fourth quarter and it looked like nothing was going on, they couldn't get anything going, that still made you believe they can come back and win this game? It was Mahomes. So that's a form of value. Either way, they got it done. And the big play of the game, there were a few. I mean, even after San Francisco blew the lead, they had a chance in that deep overthrow. Garoppolo overthrew a wide open, I don't want to say wide open, but a very open post route. That would have been the go-ahead touchdown with about a minute and a half left. But if you fast forward back to 7 minutes and about, it was about 7:15 to go in the game, and it was still 20-10 at that point. And Mahomes had just thrown a second pick. The Kansas City defense, which is not getting enough credit, but they had stood up, gotten a stop, gotten the ball right back, keeping it at a 10-point deficit. And Kansas City started fizzling again. They get to 3rd and 15. And if San Francisco gets a stop here, they're going to get the ball back on a punt, and they're going to have a two-possession lead with 7 minutes left and a chance to get a few first downs and really salt that thing away. And on the 3rd and 15 was the big 44-yard pass from Mahomes to a wide open. Now, he was wide open. Tyreek Hill, my old high school football coach, Dominic Siow, who's still the head coach at Berkeley Prep. But when I played at Jesuit, our quarterback was George Godsey, who went on to play at Georgia Tech and then play for a little bit in the NFL, became a coach, actually coached. He was the quarterback's coach for the Patriots, for Belichick, with Tom Brady, and he was the Texans offensive coordinator. But anyway, he was our quarterback at Jesuit. He was a year ahead of me, so he was a senior. I was a junior. And when George would miss a guy in practice, which wasn't very often, but Coach Sio coached him pretty hard, Coach Sio would go, George, there's three kinds of open. There's open, there's wide open, and there's wide effing open. That guy was wide effing open. Throw him the ball, yell out. Tyreek Hill, on like the literally the biggest play of both team seasons that's going to decide the Super Bowl, 3rd and 15, and he's downfield by 40 yards, and he was wide effing open. I have no idea how that happens. But it seems like it happens more these days, and obviously the rules have changed in the past decade or so. But I remember, and I guess this is part of the good thing about it, I remember growing up watching football, and like 3rd and 15, it was like, oh man, that, you know, that 1 in 10 shot you're picking this up. It's like a 50-50 shot now in these 3rd and anything in the teens that seems impossible. I mean, teams pick them up like they're candy. And that was the play. They get that stop right there. San Francisco is going to have a chance to win. And instead, Tyreek Hill wide effing open. Mahomes hit him. They completed for 44 yards. A couple minutes later, it was 20-17. Not even a couple minutes on the clock either. It was less than that. But at that point, if I gave you a 50-50 shot at picking the game, even though it was a three-point lead for San Francisco and they had the ball 20-17, I asked some people at the party I was at, who are you picking right now? No point spread, no nothing. Who wins this game? They're all Kansas City. Like, everybody's like, no, I'm taking Kansas City. And yeah, because you just knew. Like, that was their shot. But it was a great game all around, and the Chiefs do deserve a lot of credit. There's another thing. What's the drum we beat on all the time here? And without trying to get too much into analytics, I mean, I'm a big analytics guy. Not that I personally compute these things myself, but I'm a believer. And these 4th and 1s, you know, there's really been an evolution in football over the past, again, 10 years or so, and it's nice to see. And people, like, 10 years ago, 4th and 1, especially, like, inside the goal line area like that, like the Chiefs had in the Super Bowl, they kicked that field goal every time. Coaches, oh, take the points. That's the smart play. You take the points, and you live another day. You know, that old-fashioned, it's wrong. It was really, really refreshing to see the Chiefs get their first touchdown after a 4th and 1. They could have easily kicked a field goal. They went for it, got it, took the lead, ended up being a difference in the game. They did it again later in the game and got it again, although if my memory serves me, I think they still kicked a field goal on that drive anyway. It was a shorter field goal because they moved the ball forward. But they went for a couple of fourth and ones, and that wasn't just, oh, hey, nice to see. Those were actually game-changing plays, and I doubt they win the Super Bowl without those decisions. And so it worked, and it's easy for me to come on the show and say, oh, it worked, this is why it's a good thing. But that's not even why it was a good decision, because we always say, don't be a prisoner of the moment. Don't look at what one thing happened in one spot, you know, and say, oh, we should have done this because it worked, or oh, we shouldn't have done it because it didn't work. Before you even run the play, you should know you've made the right decision based on, again, the data, when there's data available. So even if they hadn't gotten those fourth and ones, or fourths and one, however you want to put it, those still would have been the right decisions. It was nice to see validation, and it was nice to see those calls stand up and end up being important calls in the game. But if they had failed miserably, it wouldn't have changed anything. And in fact, that did happen to the Ravens when they played the Titans, and they had a couple of fourth and ones that they failed on in huge spots and got criticized for those specifically because they failed. Even though, again, that's being a prisoner of the moment. Bruce Arians' son, Jake Arians, he's on Twitter. Yeah, I don't follow him, but I forget how I saw the tweets, but after those Ravens, Titans, those fourth downs that the Ravens failed on, he was on there saying, yeah, we're all the analytics guys now. How they all say you should go on fourth and one, but they don't realize playoff football's different, dude. Like, it's a whole different mentality. You got to take the points in the playoff. Just a brain-numbingly dumb thing to say. First of all, there's nothing to do with playoffs or no playoffs. Something's either the right decision or it's not. And he ended up, you know, crowing about that because the Ravens failed on those. That's being a prisoner of the moment. I kind of got into him a lot. I probably shouldn't have. I mean, it's pretty dumb to get into Twitter fights with anybody, and I probably need to get a life. I've got, you know, a wife and two kids and responsibilities. I shouldn't be wasting my time on stuff like that. But I chirped at him a little bit, and then when that happened in the Super Bowl the other way, I have to admit I may have tagged him again in another tweet. No reason I should have, but sometimes I'm just an a-hole about stuff like that, and if you listen to this show, you probably already knew that. But either way, it was nice to see, and just a good game all around with the aggressiveness and the calls, and I was happy for Andy Reid, and I thought he deserved a win there. I wasn't particularly rooting for one team or the other, because the Bucs weren't playing, but had no problem with the outcome there. Email me if you want to, bobbygameday@yahoo.com, that's bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can catch me at Bobby Game Day. Wanted to talk about, the other thing, because this looks like it's happening right now. Player reps and the NFLPA executives met in Los Angeles the other day, and there's nothing official coming out of those meetings, but the owner's proposal that they're mulling over, and this is going to affect the league going forward. It seems, I don't want to say inevitable, because I hate when people say something is inevitable, and by doing so, they make it inevitable just because they keep saying it's inevitable. But the proposal for the owners, they want that 17th regular season game. They want it, okay? That even though people, there was a Twitter poll about it and some other things, people pretty much don't want it by about 2-1. You know, 60-something percent of people say it's fine the way it is. It's 16, and only about a third say they want to have more, you know, add that 17th game. The proposal is to add the 17th game. It's a 10-year deal. And it's not officially, there's a lot of things that the proposal has, but what came out of it was that the player's share of the revenue would go from 47% to 48.5%. So you've got, you know, players don't want this game, they don't feel like they need it, and then you've got the owners who want it, they're going to have to give something up, so they're going to bump the salary cap up to a higher percentage of the revenue. And you know, for the players, it's a 17th game, so they're going to want, obviously, just money for that game, because whatever their salary is, if you're getting paid, you know, $5 million a year for 16 games, it's something like 6.2-something percent of when you add that 17th game, an increase. I should have written it down. But anyway, it's not as simple as just bumping salaries up that 6-point-whatever percent. It's going to be more. The players are going to use that as leverage if they're going to give that game up. They're going to try and get as much as they can. So we'll see what happens. I really, like I always say, prefer it just be 16 games and 3 preseason games. I don't mind cutting a game and not, you know, some people say, oh, you want less football. And in this case, I'd be okay with that. But I'd also be okay if they kept it the way it is too. But I think 16 is a good number. And, you know, if they make it 17, I'm not going to complain. I still say, though, if you just add another bye week, you get another week of inventory, play an 18-week season with 16 games instead of 17 with 16, and now you've got another week of inventory for TV, another Monday night football game, another Thursday night football game. These are all revenue streams that you would be able to increase without actually increasing the number of games that any one team plays. But, I mean, they might do that anyway, go 17 weeks and still add two bye weeks. Now you have a 19-week season. And I could get the more weeks of football, the better. Not necessarily the more games, but the more weeks. Because when there's 16 games in a week and I can only watch four of them on TV, those other 12 games are lost to the electrons, you know? Like, spread them out a little more so that there's a higher percentage of the games that already exist, which is 256, and put those on TV, and I'd be pretty happy. But anyway, just an update on that. And I'll keep you, you know, on this show, we'll talk about the negotiations for that type of stuff just as much as we'll talk about football things, because this is going to shape the way the league looks going forward. And it really hasn't changed at all in my lifetime. I mean, they went from 14 games to 16 games in 1978, which was the Bucs' third year of existence and 2 years before I was born. And it's been that way ever since, with 16 games and four preseason. And then they actually had the playoffs were smaller until 1990. And then that hasn't changed since 1990. So I'm not one of these I don't like change people. I just like what makes the most sense. And sometimes that means changing something. Sometimes it means leaving it the same way. I don't think a 17th game is going to hurt anything. I mean, some players may think it's going to hurt them literally because it's another game and it's, you know, more of a chance to get hurt, and everything about player safety pretty much goes against increasing the number of games. But either way, if they agree to it, they're going to agree to it because they got something very good in return, and that's something that'll be talked about in these negotiations. One other thing I wanted to talk about today, and this is the non-football, non-Bucks category, but I wanted to bring it up because, you know, I'm a Tampa sports guy, and the type of talk show I always did on the radio was a Tampa sports talk show. And so I can't ignore what was said this week regarding the whole thing with the Rays and the potential, or at least the proposal, I still don't think it has any potential, but the proposal to split the season for the Rays between the Tampa Bay area and Montreal, and how there's been resistance, obviously, from the city of St. Pete, and they've said, no, we're not going to allow that until after the lease is up. So what the Rays had hoped to have done in the next couple of years is now something that won't happen until 2028 at the earliest, which is good. But beyond that, you know, is it something that really is likely or possible to happen? My position on this thing, before I tell you about what Steven Bronfman, the Montreal guy, said, my position on this thing is that it's absolutely ludicrous. And as much as I love the Rays, I would absolutely, absolutely let them leave completely and just be another team in another city before I let them split a season. That is absolutely zero possibility I would allow that to happen if I was in a position of any kind of power. It is a complete non-starter, and it is completely not an option. I can't think of anything dumber. Like, I feel insulted that Stu Sternberg actually proposed this, and I don't think he did propose it seriously. I still think he's just trying to basically, you know, light a fire behind the effort to get a full-time stadium here, or make people so disgusted that they throw their hands up and say, you know what, screw off. And then he can say, oh, well, look, I'm not getting any support here, I got to leave. Because you think it can't get worse. It absolutely can. I'm actually worried about it coming up, because dissatisfaction with the Rays, and specifically dissatisfaction with Stu Sternberg, is at an all-time high. I mean, every time his name appears anywhere in an article, in a news report, on Twitter, I mean, just read the replies anytime anything appears with his name on it on Twitter, if you're a Twitter person. And it's just vitriol. Like, people really have been turned off by this whole thing, which might have been the point. You know, now people tune out. Now people say, screw these guys. And the team's been doing really well. And then he says, well, look, we were getting 17,000. Now it's down to 50. Now it's down to 10. Everybody hates us. I think we got to go. You know, maybe that's the whole point of this. I would actually, as much as that would suck, be less insulted by that, as cynical as it is, because at least that makes sense. But my sensibilities as a common sense person are offended by the idea, oh yeah, we'll just play half the season here, which, you know, with 30, 40 games, whatever it is, and then move the team to Montreal, and then they try and tell you how great it'll be, and people, I mean, first of all, I think of it like a marriage. Like, if you're a wife, if you're a guy listening out there, said, hey, listen, I really want to stay married, I really do, I'm going to need, there's this other guy I've been seeing or I've been talking to. I haven't done anything with him yet. You can trust me, honey, but I would like to do things with him. I'm going to run it by you first, but I really don't see any way going forward our marriage can work unless I spend half my time with you. I'm going to spend some nights over there too. I think it's a good plan. I've worked this out. I really think you should accept it. And if not, I don't see any other option going forward. Would you be like, oh yeah, I mean, having half a wife is better than not being married at all. Would you say that? Because I keep hearing people say that about the race. Well, would you rather lose the team altogether? Isn't having half the team better? No, it's not. I'm not a Rays fan. I'm a Tampa Bay Rays fan. Just like I'm not a Bucks fan, I'm a Tampa Bay Bucks fan. And the Lightning, too. If they move to other cities or whatever, then they don't exist as I know them anymore. And so, no. I guarantee if it's the other way around, if I told my wife, hey, look, we got two kids. Obviously, I want to stay together. It'd be a whole big mess to try and get divorced. Shouldn't we maybe just split some time? So we both have some time to ourselves. I'm going to spend some nights over at this other girl's place. We're still married. I'll be with her. It'll be great. No, nobody would go for that. Like, no self-respecting person would go for that. And the icing on top of the cake is that just to do this plan would still require us to build a new stadium. So the hard part of this whole thing is building a stadium. So if we can build a stadium, we're building it for the whole team. Like I could see them leaving because we just don't build a stadium at all. If that happens, then okay, well, hell, we didn't get it done. And they didn't get it done. But you're telling me we're going to go through all the trouble and actually build a stadium, only it's going to be just a little cheaper just because we don't need a roof? And that's idiotic. Like, it is an absolutely idiotic proposal. And anybody, and I'm not talking about Stu because Stu is not an idiot. He's a smart guy, obviously. But anybody out here, and I hear people in the media actually carping for this, like, oh, well, when you think about it, it probably is our best. No, you know what? Go then. See if Montreal wants to build the full complement. Because it ain't anybody else that has a stadium just sitting there ready to go either. And if they do, then good for them. I think we should. I think we should work that out. And I think if Stu Sternberg wants to get it worked out, I think we still can. Maybe he doesn't want to at all. But either way, after all this came out, and everybody's already pissed off enough about the plan, just to ensure that everybody is just angry and there's absolutely no chance of any goodwill going forward, the leader of the Montreal contingent, his name is Steven Bronfman. He's a businessman. I don't know anything about him. I'd never heard of him until this. But anyway, he was talking about how the plan should work. And he says it'll be great because the kids will get out of school, as far as the families of the players and things like that. Their kids will get out of school, then they can move to Montreal for the summer. He says, plus Montreal, quote, is a much nicer city to be in than St. Petersburg. Please, much more cosmopolitan, much more fun, end quote. Now, again, I'm not going to get into an argument about Montreal versus St. Pete. Montreal is a very nice place, I've heard. I've never been to Montreal. St. Pete's very nice, too. The whole Tampa Bay area is. The point is, it should be glaringly obvious to all of us now, right, that this is not a serious plan. Like, if this was something that all sides wanted to work together on, if this was something that Stu Sternberg was serious about, I'm sure he would have had assurances from Steven Bronfman that he wouldn't say things like this, that, hey, we really want this to work. Let's have goodwill. Let's have positive things. To come out and basically have shots fired like that by one half of it at the other half. And I'm glad he did because it just illustrates again how never, 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 ever is this going to happen. But it's just absolutely absurd to a thinking person that this would be acceptable. So at the earliest it could happen is 2028 because that lease is ironclad and so the Rays aren't going anywhere for now. 8 years is a very long time. This is the only thing I'll say about it. I don't know if we're going to get the stadium thing done or not. I don't know, you know, I don't know what's going to happen. But I do know that people jump to conclusions in these sagas way too early, way too often. And even though it's hardly early, because this saga's been ongoing for some time now, it still has 8 years to go. And the bottom line remains the same as it always has. The bottom line is this when it comes to the Rays Stadium proposal. We have however long it takes to build a stadium. What is it, 3 years? We have to have a stadium ready here for opening day 2028. March or April 2028 for a full-time team. If we can get ground broken on a stadium anytime before the drop dead time to have that done, so call it three seasons. If we get a ground the ground broken on a stadium by 2025, then they'll stay. Then we can have the stadium built and be ready for opening day 2028. And up until that happens, so that's 5 years from now, right? Because we're coming up on opening day 2020. So in the next 5 years, this has to get agreed upon and sorted out or not. Or Stu can sell the team to someone else who wants to move it too, but they still couldn't move it till 2028. Whatever. The point is there's a long time still to go, and I know that's annoying to hear because of how long it's already been, but we don't know anything yet. And it's a shame it's taken this long, but you can hardly say, oh, that's it. Screw it. These guys are leaving. They might. That really could happen, absolutely. But the whole Tampa Bay-Montreal thing is not going to be a thing. And I know even Rob Manfred, the commissioner, said there was, quote, significant significant receptivity. The exact quote from Manfred, from the owners, as far as this idea. So everybody's pumping sunshine about it. Stu's pumping sunshine. Oh, yeah, we've worked this out. We think it'll work. I really think it's a good idea. And it's the only way we're going to do it. So you can take it or leave it. Don't believe all that, okay? The whole thing's a ploy. The whole thing's a game. This will happen only if a lot of people sign off on it. And it's a really, really ridiculous idea for that many people to sign off on. So just continue to let it play out. But screw Steven Brothman, screw that whole idea. If they want a team, they can build a stadium in full, just like we can build a stadium in full if we want a team. And if somebody does that first, great. Hats off to them. And if we do or don't, okay. But I will say this, and I guess this is Sternberg's, you know, big idea. I would hate to lose the Rays. I would absolutely hate it. It would bother me forever. It really would. But if that were to be the choice between that and this whole Montreal thing, I'm not a fool. I'm not a patsy. And I'm not so desperate that I'll settle for something, just like a husband or wife wouldn't be so desperate to settle for something like that if it got proposed to you. So it's all or nothing, baby. And we as an area and as a region can decide how to get it done if we're going to get it done. The big problem, I think, with our region is, it's not a bad thing in general, but for stuff like this, we have all these different factions, and it's nobody's fault, but we got Rick Kreisman, he's the mayor of St. Pete. We got Jane Castor, now the mayor of Tampa, you know, Hillsborough County Commission, Pinellas County Commission, Tampa City Council, St. Pete City Council. And like Rick Kreisman's job, is his job to look out for the Rays? No. Is his job to look out for the Tampa Bay area? No. Rick Kreisman has one job, and that is to do what is in the best interest of the city of St. Petersburg, period. Same with Jane Castor. It's not her job to look out for the Bay Area. Just Tampa. So we have all these different factions in the area, and sometimes their interests are aligned, but sometimes they're not. We really need like a mayor of Tampa Bay for the big issues that affect the whole area, because this isn't just a Tampa or a St. Pete thing, wherever the new stadium would or would not be, whatever it is. This is something that no one person is looking out for Tampa Bay's best interest in keeping the team, because everybody's looking out for whatever jurisdiction they are employed by. And again, they're supposed to do that. I don't blame them at all. But that's the problem. We don't have anybody looking out for the whole package. And so that hurts. And sometimes that's a good thing for our area, but sometimes it's not. It just depends. In this case, I think it's hurting us that we don't have a consolidated, like unified effort behind this thing. And I think that's what you're seeing play out now. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I wanted to say my piece on that. And that's the type of stuff that on the free stretch throughout the offseason you might hear more and more of, although not all the time, just when these issues come up. So with all that said, again, if you want to contact me, I love hearing from you guys. The email address is bobbygameday@yahoo.com. On Twitter, you can get me at bobbygameday. I want to thank our sponsors at Bill Curry Ford. I want to thank the Joes for giving me this platform, the chance to get in front of all of you. I appreciate it always. The single best place for Bucks coverage anywhere on the internet or otherwise. And I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm recording on my phone this week. Oh, I didn't even get to the XFL. So I don't have my outro music, everybody, because I'm on my phone, but I'll do it next week. But the XFL, I'm recording this on Saturday. It kicks off in a couple hours. The Vipers play on Sunday. We'll talk about that next week, but I'm interested to see a little bit of it. And the Vipers have their home opener next week at Raymond James Stadium, too. So we'll get to that then. In the meantime, though, hey, enjoy the fact there's still some football on. I wish they'd waited a few weeks to let the hunger come back before they just went right into it. I think sometimes absence makes the heart grow fonder a little bit. But either way, enjoy that. Enjoy your week. Be safe. I'll be back next week. And wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.